Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It's Monday, June 20th. This is Eric Steven, and oof, what a rough turn of events for the Dodgers of late. Holy cannoli, to quote recent NBA champion and old friend-in-law Clay Thompson, brother of Trace, who said that in a positive manner on Thursday after the Warriors won their fourth recent championship. Regarding the Dodgers, holy cannoli, man. Things are just not going their way. Mookie Betts is the latest star to get injured for the Dodgers. He broke a rib the injury happened on Wednesday last week against the Angels in a collision with Cody Bellinger, which is very coincidental because last year, Cody Bellinger had Gavin Lux sort of crash into him in Lux's, I believe it was his like fifth professional game in the outfield or something like that. When Lux was in left, Bellinger was in center, and then Bellinger cracked a rib last year, missed some time on the IL. This year it was Betts. Tried to play through it. He was listed in the lineup, Mookie Betts was, on Friday and Saturday. The Dodgers had Thursday off, and it was one of those things where he thought he was going to be able to play with it. He was scratched Friday, then he was scratched Saturday. I think initial x-rays proved negative, but then I think they went in and did more testing because, as Mookie Betts said, he just kept feeling worse every single day.
I thought it was just a bruise. So that's why I was going to stay in there and play. But, as I was preparing for the game, it just kind of got a little worse and a little worse. And so that's when I knew I needed to go get it checked out. Once I saw nothing was broke on the x-ray, then, that was encouraging. And so, my mind was fixed to play no matter what. But just got worse and worse.
So last year, I mentioned Bellinger broke his rib in a similar collision. So when he went on the injured list, he missed the minimum 10 days. He made his first start off the injured list 13 days after his previous start. When he first came back, he didn't start the first few games, but he came in later in the game. I couldn't remember if it was just because the left-hander was starting. He was, if you remember back to last year, Bellinger was terrible at the plate. But he was sort of showing signs of life, ended up hitting okay in October. So that was somewhat decent. So technically, the Dodgers could backdate Mookie Betts' injured list stint to Thursday, meaning the earliest he could technically be back is this coming Sunday when the Dodgers are in Atlanta to play the Braves. But they're going to take it a little slower than that. It looks like Mookie is going to be shut down for at least a week. And from the talks, both Mookie Betts pregame Sunday and Dave Roberts pregame Sunday, the hope is that Betts is going to miss 2 weeks. And the rule, anytime on like sort of injury wish casting or anything like that, bet the under. They're never going to say we expect him to miss 2 months or something like that. They're never going to overshoot it. They're always going to undershoot it. So, who knows? Is there a sort of glimmer of hope that, he was trying to almost play the last couple days? Who knows? So now it's just more of a reset, get him healthy and wait till he gets back. Mookie was struggling in June. He was hitting 193 with a 523 OPS plus this month, a 46 wins run created plus, or weighted runs created plus, excuse me. His home run on Tuesday, it snapped a string of 8 straight games without a run. And if you remember, he was basically scoring like a run per game the first like third of the season. Through Thursday, even after that sort of slow streak, Mookie led the majors with 53 runs scored. Since then, he's been passed. I think Aaron Judge passed him, possibly one other person since then. If you look at the Dodgers offense by month, it's been a weird year. So, April, they averaged just under 5 runs a game, 4.8, and then they had their WRC plus was 105. So they were above average, but not quite going up to their potential. In May, everything was clicking on all cylinders. It was basically the top three, Mookie, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner, were all doing well. They had a 126 WRC plus, just sublime, 6 runs a game, just unheard of. This month, coming into Sunday, they were at a 96 WRC plus. They only scored, they scored 3 in the finale. They're averaging 3.5 runs a game this month. That runs back about a little over 3 weeks, too. They really have not hit for a while. And now they're going to be without Mookie for a while. So they have a lot of stuff going on, and we'll get into sort of not just missing Mookie, but there's some roster machinations that are maneuvers that are going to have to happen here in the next couple days, and it'll really sort of tell the tale of how they're going to handle like the next couple of weeks. So today, Monday, it's another off day for the Dodgers. It's the third one they've had in the last 8 days. It allowed them to sort of reset their starting rotation a little bit, give some extra rest to both starters and relievers. Like if you look back to last week, they had the 2-game series against the Angels. Tony Gonsolin went 6 1/3. Tyler Anderson flirted with a no-hitter, pitched into the 9th, 8 1/3, and threw 123 pitches. Both were the longest starts of the season for each guy. Their next starts, they start the first 2 games against the Reds on Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are going to be on 6 days rest, so they get a little bit of extra rest. And then starting with Kershaw on Thursday, the rest of the rotation is sort of on 5 days. And then it starts a stretch of 20 games in 20 days, so we're going to get to that point like we had in that last little gauntlet area of the schedule where they might need to call up Mitch White or another starting pitcher for an occasional spot start in there to maybe break it up a little bit, maybe give those guys extras. It really depends how it goes. So the Dodgers optioned Reyes Maranta on Sunday to make room for Andrew Heaney, who was back. He pitched pretty well. He went 5 innings into the 6th, allowed only 2 runs. One of them was earned. He looked pretty good, but so they have like a full 5-man rotation again. I know if you remember a couple weeks back in our mailbag episode, we were talking about the possibility of a 6-man rotation, which of course is asking for the baseball gods to strike down any such plans. But yeah, they have 5 pitchers at the moment, so it's just a matter of sort of seeing how those guys handle the steady workload. We'll see probably a week or so into that 20-game run exactly how they're going to manage it. But there's another wrinkle. They're going to have to send another reliever down today. They've been carrying 14 pitchers, the maximum they can carry on the 26-man active roster. However, that was only because players and owners agreed to sort of wait to enforce the 13-pitcher limit that went into that was sort of enacted for 2020, but because of the pandemic and COVID protocols, the last 2 years it wasn't enforced. This year they waited because of the way the lockout truncated spring training, and it gave teams a little bit of a leeway in the early going. But now they're going to start enforcing that. So they have to go down to 13 pitchers, which means another reliever goes down today. Now it's the question now is what position player they're going to bring up. So they brought up Zach McKinstry on Sunday, and then they're kind of it's interesting to see exactly what options they have. They don't have a ton of options that are there. There's like flaws with each one in a way, but I think it's pretty clear which way they're going to go, and I'll explain why in a second. But before the game Sunday, Dave Roberts said he sort of mentioned that a right-handed bat would make sense, but that it's still being discussed, and we'll see. So, like, the easiest option, just straight up, is, in terms of, like, closest to the majors, Jacob Amaya. He's a shortstop. He's already on the 40-man. He was just promoted to AAA last week, so he's barely played in AAA. He did hit a pair of home runs early with Oklahoma City. He's the best defensive option, at least in the infield of the group, already on the 40-man. Cleanest possible move. Now, it really depends how often you're going to want to play these guys. So the other options of like veteran guys who are not on the 40 man, who would just need to be added. You know, if you go right-handed batter, Stefan Romero, 33-year-old outfielder, played overseas for like the last 5 years. He's back. He's healthy now. Jake Lamb, his name gets mentioned a lot. It was mentioned a lot during spring training, but he's a left-hander. He's a career third baseman. He's played mostly first base this year. He played some corner outfield in spring. Not really an outfielder. Is a left-handed batter. Probably the hottest hitter of the bunch. Now, it just really depends how much playing time this person is going to get and where they're going to play. So what they really want in that sort of spot. In June, I think he has a 500 on base percentage. He's reached base in all 15 games. On the season, he has a 973 OPS in AAA. So the other non-40-man options, Andy Burns saw some time last year, has more defensive versatility, especially in the infield, but not much of a bat there. Now, Jason Martin, so Andy Burns is right-handed batter. Jason Martin's a lefty batter. More outfield versatility, can play all three. And then he's also hitting 959 OPS plus. Take this for what it's worth, and it's probably not worth a lot. Of the sort of group that you would consider possibilities for potentially coming up from the minors, Martin was the only one who didn't play Sunday for Oklahoma City. So that doesn't mean much because both Oklahoma City and the Dodgers are off Monday, so getting him to Cincinnati by Tuesday isn't really an issue, so it's not like they necessarily had to, get him on an earlier flight or something. Now, you could, if they've already made the decision, perhaps they held him out just to make sure he's, doesn't get hurt before he comes up, but that's speculating a little bit. So the issue here is why I think it's going to be an outfielder, is because with Mookie Betts out for about, probably 2 weeks, maybe more, Edwin Rios still out. Remember, he tore the hamstring off the bone. It's going to be a while. The Dodgers for the next 2 weeks, basically every single game, have to start at least one of their quote unquote bench players, which means Barnes. Now Barnes is going to catch, one out of every three or four games anyway. And then you could slide Will Smith to DH those days. That's just going to happen normally in a normal rotation. But the rest of the guys, Eddie Alvarez, Hanser Alberto, Zach McKinstry, and then whichever guy they call up on Tuesday, 40-man space isn't an issue for who they're calling up because Walker Buehler, who's going to be going to miss, about 3 months, he's maybe a September return, is he can be moved to the 60-day injured list, so not a problem there. It's also not out of the question that the reliever going down could be David Price getting designated for assignment. Now, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but it's at least an option. That would also create 40-man space, but they're not hurting for that. Now, Amaya does make sense on the 40-man, close to the majors. He bats right-handed. He's really good at defense. Now, a sort of wild card here would be Miguel Vargas because, as I said, during these 2 weeks, someone's going to play from the bench every single day. So Miguel Vargas, right? He's younger than Jacob Amaya, but he's one of the Dodgers' best hitting prospects. Diego Cartaya is probably the only one better. He's younger and at a lower level, so not quite ready. Vargas has been holding his own in AAA at 22, one of the youngest players in the league. He's not on the 40-man, but again, easy add. His season line is kind of right in line with what Oklahoma City's hitting as a team. So it's always weird to look at these numbers, right? The PCL is averaging 5.84 runs per game, so it is kind of silly numbers at a time. It's not, I don't know if it's quite old school Albuquerque, in the 70s and 80s and stuff, where you had to take some of this with a grain of salt, but you kind of do. So you just have to consider the environment. However, someone like Vargas, right, you're not going to call him up just to sit. Amaya, kind of the same, in the same boat, but then you look at how the Dodgers could use this. You saw with Edwin Rios. Now, granted, he has, parts of three seasons of major league experience and actual success in the majors. It's not the same. But you could see a scenario where with the other sort of eight regulars, they could at least give Vargas a run like his he's playing first, right? So he's not going to play first with Freddie Freeman. But you could see them getting a situation where he can at least start occasionally or two out of every three games or something again at DH. But again, that's a long shot. I don't think it's going to happen. It's just something to consider if you're sort of if you're willing to throw that out there. Now the other thing on Sunday, there was a couple of like Eddie Alvarez played right. He's played there once or a couple times. Hanser Alberto has been asked to play the outfield this season. Zach McKinstry has occasionally played it as well. But none of those guys I would consider like an actual outfielder. It's more like if we had to put him out there and like if you like as it stands now, the active roster, you basically have Cody Bellinger in center. Chris Taylor can play all three. And then Gavin Lux in left. And Gavin Lux is a converted infielder. So it's a rough assignment when Gavin Lux is clearly the third best defensive outfielder. And they don't really have another actual outfielder on the roster. So even if it's just bringing up someone who's not going to play a ton, just occasionally just to fill in when needed, I think the call-up has to be an outfielder. So that's why I think I would rule out Jacob Amaya. So if you're looking at the 40 man, James Outman is on the 40 man, is an outfielder. Now, however, he's also in AA, and I know they called up Ryan Pepiot this year from AA, but I do not think they would necessarily call up a hitter unless it was like some super desperate situation. And I don't necessarily think this is that, cause I don't know if he's just going to come up and start. He's also a left-handed batter. So if you're looking outside the organization, Lorenzo Cain was just designated for assignment on Saturday by the Brewers. The day he reached 10 full years of service time, he got his full pension because of that. He has kind of been really bad this year at the plate. 179, 435 OPS, 32 weighted runs created plus. He's not really walking. He's striking out more than ever. He's 36. Now, last year, he had a 97 WRC+, plus, so he was effective. He bats right-handed, but then if you look, like, again, small sample and all, but he's only 3 for 44 this year against lefties. So if I had to guess, they definitely need an outfielder. Getting back to the sort of why there, Eddie Alvarez had a couple plays on Sunday that were especially in the first inning, he had one that he just dropped, and then just a couple, questionable routes on them. He could play there in a pinch, but you don't want to have to rely on most of these guys they have on the bench to play outfielder. So they definitely need an outfielder. So if I had to pick, it's probably Jason Martin, but honestly, like, nothing would surprise me. But it's going to be interesting, and we'll talk about it later this week once they actually make the decision. They'll have to send down a reliever Monday. They'll have to call up a position player, hopefully an outfielder, on Tuesday. And we will talk about it later this week. But thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.